Welcome back to the Rational Revolution. One of the things that's so cool about being able to do this show is I get to talk with my friends, and we get to make friends here together on the radio. And one of the things I've been so really appreciative of is getting to know you and seeing your passion and seeing, you know, you through what you're doing now to what you're going to be doing here in a few short weeks as we talk with Representative-elect Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner from the wonderful 90th here.
Yay.
So we had another one of our friends on, Chris Alfheim, who is a former host of the show and now state senator-elect. And one of the most interesting things that I got to talk to her about is like, holy crap, it's a new life.
Yeah.
You know, like, I asked her about what, you know, how is life changing? A lot of people that, you know, they have like an apartment, she's not going to do that right away. Like your life is like, boom, taken upside down and shaking around. And what is it like now for you and your husband? And,
number one thing was we were talking about what kind of daycare we're going to have for our golden doodle.
And so we were like, right?
You know, I mean, other than...
Is he going to join you down there for as much as he can?
We're hoping.
Oh, cool. Good.
Technically, dogs are not allowed, but, you know, I'm not always a great rule follower.
I'm not either.
So we'll see what happens.
No, don't follow the rule.
Other than
absolutely not.
Major important public policies, some of the local... some of the logistics have been interesting. You know, we're going to have a local office here, so one of the things I'm
really
proud of. Yeah, so we
good for you.
So we decided that... My team, and then we talked with Senator-elect Jamie Wall and Senator-elect Ryan Spouty.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a joint office here in Green Bay.
Oh, how cool.
Because here's the thing we talked about. You know, we don't want to make people feel like they have to go to Madison.
Yes.
To talk and get work done.
What a great idea.
And so I know, revolutionary.
Yeah.
That we just think
it's not been done.
Right. The weird part, it hasn't. And so we just think it should be easy to talk to your state rep, your state senator. We want to have people here. So my commitment to this community wasn't that I was going to go here to go to Madison. It was that I wanted to bring more of Green Bay to Madison.
That's
and if
cool.
not, bring Madison to Green Bay. And so we're thinking, we are already working on finding a local office. We'll all have it. We're thinking about having hearings and forums here. So I'm not going to get an apartment in Madison. I'm not interested in that. There is like a per diem, so we might, if there's long days and nights, we do get to stay the night. But my plan right now is I'd rather commute because my bosses live here.
Yeah.
The people who elect me, the people who want me to work on things that they want me to work on, building kind of this economy for everybody and policy that works for all, needs me to be in community with folks and not just spend my time in, albeit gorgeous, stunning building.
Yes.
I think I have an amazing office. But, you know, my goal is really to make government more accessible to the 90th. And so I deeply believe that. So yes, some changes. I got to figure out the dogs.
Right.
I might have some dinners or date nights with my husband. Might actually have to be in Madison.
Yeah. Hey.
And not in Green
Bay. Restaurants
Bay.
Aren't bad there.
That's right.
That's right.
And so I'm excited. You know, I'm most interested in when it's bad weather.
Yeah, like today, I would not want to drive back.
What's the plan?
Well, you know, so we could take a page out of another friend of the show, Rob Coles.
Yeah.
And he was very, very well known for being, you know, very tight of penny pincher. He had a cot in his office, swear to God. Yes. And so he took that per diem and he's got his cot in his office. Uh-huh. You could do that.
Yeah, I mean,
might be a little much.
Yeah. You know, the creature conference, you know, I have a nice, you know, I don't need a cot.
Yeah.
But I might, if there's bad
weather. Maybe a nice futon or something.
Yeah. You know? There are some beautiful couches there.
That's right. Yeah.
I'm hoping that my office doesn't serve as a hostel. But, yeah.
So could you spend most of your time in Green Bay and work remotely and do some of that stuff?
Yes, but you know, there's some things we have to be there for.
Yeah, well,
there are some real fourth sessions that we have to be there because a vote can be called.
Yeah.
So there are times that we need to and have to be in Madison. That could be sometimes twice a week, sometimes it could be three times a week, sometimes it could be four times a week. That really will depend. I just don't think it's worthwhile to have a place there when I want to be coming back to my district, back to my family.
My family,
this sounds so cheesy, and I know people are probably sick of me saying all this stuff, but all the things I love are here.
Yeah.
If I wanted to spend all my time in Madison, that's not where we would have made a permanent home. We would have made a permanent home there, not here. And who I love, who I like spend time with, the people I care about, the people I represent are all here in Green Bay. And we're the number one place to live in the United States.
Yeah.
I love Madison. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Great restaurants.
Yeah.
Some great bar scenes.
Uh-huh.
But at the end of the day, I like.
Yeah.
I know it's cheesy. Please don't mock me. But it is. I like being here.
That's awesome. And I think that's what you want to have in someone that represents you, you know, someone that really loves the community and everything. What does the next couple of years look like in terms of, you know, what can be done? We talked to, again, Senator-elect Chris Elfheim, and, you know, there is the looming idea in state government that, you know, Republicans do have both houses. That's not how it's going to be.
Mm.
And so you would think that, okay, they're going to find their inner statesmanship and start working with others. And that hasn't, that's yet to be seen.
Yet to be seen.
Yet to be seen, to say it politely. What can be done?
So, you know, I'm, no one will be surprised, neither the listeners or you. I'm a bit optimistic.
I know, which is great.
It doesn't mean I'm not a realist. It just means, I think there are some real things that we need to tackle, right? For the first time I've seen during this cycle, I saw both Republicans and Democrats talking about the cost of healthcare.
Yeah.
Right? I saw Republicans and Democrats actually talking about our housing crisis, right?
Yep.
We have cities, towns, and villages talking about that they don't want to keep leaning on property taxes. They need other options for revenue to fund basic services across political divides, past geography. So that, to me, there are some through lines here. You know, we ran on a lot of these things.
Yep.
We, you know, we can, you know, fully fund our public schools.
Oh my God.
I mean, these are, some of these things are easy lists. We can at least fund special education so that we're taking care of our most vulnerable students. We can address a housing crisis. This is where we actually agree with people of all political stripes that there might be too much bureaucracy in building housing, and that we can streamline it and we can fund housing of all income levels. That healthcare is too expensive and not great. And we're seeing kind of the outcomes of people not getting the care that they need, and either being afforded or being denied. And that's happening again across the political spectrum. And so I don't know. To me, there are some there are some very clear things. I mean, I know we have some issues with some folks, but we couldn't be more aligned on legalization of marijuana.
Yep.
I mean, these are things that could make tangible differences in people's lives. Do I know, both being in local government and someone interested in both policy and politics, that sometimes politics are more powerful than the policy? Absolutely. So walking in with eyes wide open. But, you know, there's four outlined things there, right? Empowering municipalities to have the funding they need. Funding public safety. I mean, come on. I mean, you can't get more Republican than public safety. And like, how can we make sure that we're, you know, taking care of our fire departments and our police departments, which, you know, are, you know, giant portions of our local budgets, without increasing property taxes? So those are all kind of nerdy things, but I think that there is vast majorities of consensus in the public on these issues. My hope is that this election showed us that there might be some populism that cuts across traditional party lines.
Well, and I think it's wild to know, you know, we talk about underfunding of public schools. I mean, I've one of my very good friends is the president of the Green Bay Area Public Schools school board, and just learning about how much they are struggling and how much is going to charter schools that are, you know, it's horrific what's been done. And it's so funny to hear, you know, the Republicans say, we have funded these at historic increases every year. And it's like, yeah, but they're still a fraction of what they were before Act 10.
Exactly.
Don't give me that crap.
Right.
You like, don't, I can't say it on the radio, but like, and the untapped industry that is, we could legalize marijuana and have that pay for some of the issues, what's needed in schools.
I mean, and just to put a finer point on that, in particular voucher schools and what goes to voucher schools in our local communities are just kind of abysmal, right?
Yeah.
That we are spending millions of dollars of taxpayers in our local arena that are literally going to private schools, right? And so it's just kind of a wild notion that you could, you know, get a blank check from the taxpayers not to fund these incredible, diverse, thoughtful schools. And that, you know, I was talking to former Mayor Schmidt and I said, you know, we can talk about accountability, but if we're having school teachers paying for supplies out of their own pocket.
Right.
And places like Green Bay, Wisconsin, we need to be, we should be held accountable.
And the, and these schools that are getting these vouchers, they're not.
They're not.
They have no standards that they have to stand by whatsoever.
Right, right. So to me, it's like, again, you know, I know for some people, these sometimes fall along, along partisan lines, but you know, no one asks who you vote for when you go to Aldo Leopold.
Right.
No one asks who you vote for if you go to East or West High, right? And so I just think those are good. And just, I kind of want to name a thing that happened, this past week, where I do think we should be talking about it, which is the mass shooting in Madison, and where, again, a vast majority of people know that we can do common sense gun reform. My Wisconsin family are gun owners. They're responsible gun owners. They don't see any issues with universal background checks, red flag laws. They deeply understand that you can both be someone who both cares and is interested in the Second Amendment, has a gun, stores a gun safely and smartly, and that we can put checks and balances in place that keep students, kids, doctors, church parishioners, movie theater goers safe.
Elected officials
safe. Yeah. And so, you know, there are through lines here where vast majority of people, regardless of political affiliation, agree on these issues. And I'm hoping to see that spirit come through, that we can have our partisan fights, but let's, you know, on these vast majority, these issues that have a vast majority of support, I think we should work on those first.
Right. As we're talking with Representative-elect Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner here from the 90th Assembly District, what are things that you are going to go into and kind of start, you know, this is, I'm going to hit this hard. What?
So you and your listeners won't be surprised. One of my number one issues is housing.
Yeah.
As you know, a formerly homeless person, I know the way that this is a cornerstone to our community in every way. Housing is the most intersectional issue that you can touch. Mm. It helps with tax rates. It helps with expansion, economic development. Helps with workforce development. It determines people graduating from high school, going to 2-year colleges, 4-year colleges. It's where people move when they want to build a family or get married, or they just want a new environment, or they want to age in place. They have a beautiful big home in Astor, but now they want to live downtown in a smaller building. Housing really is the through line that builds a community that's a cornerstone of our economic development and truly makes a difference in people's lives. So, you know, I'm working on a vast array. Already have gotten some Republican colleagues to say they would support it on various things to build more housing, get rid of the barriers to building more housing, and give municipalities more tools.
What can they do?
Well, one of the big things, that's hyper nerdy.
It's okay.
Yeah,
it's all right.
One of the things that
it's allowed,
which is that holds back housing, is that often building the housing in the increments we need them. We need not just whole neighborhoods. We need missing middle housing. That's duplexes. That's triplexes. That's smaller apartment buildings. That's smaller homes. Developers are not incentivized to build those. So one of the things that we did for JBS is we covered the cost of infrastructure, things that the public is going to use anyway: water, sewer, streets. That actually reduced the building cost by up to 20-30%.
You're talking about JBS. There's a huge development in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Oh, my God. Is it incredible?
And very happy to lead that. And we were able to bring all these developers in. The most, I believe, most developers applied to this than we ever had because we did the public
infrastructure. That's a whole neighborhood. I couldn't believe.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
So, and we did that because we covered the infrastructure cost, which is the communities anyway. It's streets, sidewalks.
Yeah.
And by doing that on a statewide level, it accelerates the options for housing in communities by covering infrastructure cost, approximately 80-20. So super nerdy, very specific, but if we cover the infrastructure cost, we can actually get more developers to build more housing. Building more housing reduces overall both rents, but also helps bring down property taxes when there's more in there because your property values will be better. So it's a win-win for everybody. It's an easy lift. We'll see what happens. Housing is really, really a big one. The second is, you know, helping municipalities get shared revenue to cover the cost so that we are actually addressing property taxes. So your property taxes don't keep going up. If we had tied shared revenue to inflation, we'd have, just in Green Bay alone, $20 million more dollars in our coffers. And so getting that done would be great.
Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner, Representative-elect, I want to talk to you as we go along because I'd love to hear how the offices are coming and all of that stuff. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you for being a friend of the show, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you on the other
me.
End of the break here on the Rational Revolution.